Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Revive Radio Show with your host, Saquon King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. Mr. Blood Certified. And we will be invading your speakers live every Monday at 8 p.m. with music and interviews from some of the hottest urban Christian artists of today here on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Stay tuned.
In. It's a freestyle for anyone who is listening, yeah. Tonight we're gonna have a little fun. Talk about how it is and talk about how it was. It's D. King in your ear, yo. I guess the beat is off. Time for me to go. Yo, what's up, y'all? Hey, you are tuned in to the Revive Radio Show, and this is your host, Daquan King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. your man of the hour, a.k.a. your man with the power, a.k.a. and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? Listen, man, we are going to have an awesome time tonight. I am hyped. I am just tuned in. I'm dialed in because I know what God has for you, or at least I know what God has given me. I don't exactly know everything that God is going to say through me tonight, but I'm hyped. You know what I'm saying? I'm just ready. I'm ready. Like, I feel like I'm a pot that's about to boil over. You feel me? So thank you so much for being tuned in. Thank you so much for giving me this time of your day. And I pray that it is a blessing to you. So we're going to go ahead and just pray as we always do. Dear Heavenly Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to make it to this moment. So many people haven't, God. People who we grew up with, people who we used to run with, we were friends with, people who we knew personally, God, are no longer here with us, God. And you've allowed us to be here in this moment, God. So we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the air that we breathe. Thank you, Father, for the legs, the arms, the feet, Father, everything, God, even the small things that we sometimes take for granted, God, but truth be told, we would not make it a moment without you thinking of us, God. So we thank you for thinking of us, God, and we just magnify your holy name. God, I pray that you have your way in this radio show tonight, God. I pray that you speak through me, arrest my thoughts, my mind, my actions, everything about me, Father, and God, I decrease, I lay it aside, God, and I pray that you speak through me tonight, God, that somebody be healed, somebody be changed, transformed, God, somebody be touched. I pray, Father, that you reach through me, God, to someone else, God, and cause a change and a transformation to happen in their life. God, I give you the glory for the show. I thank you so much for what you're doing in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so guys, next, you know, I definitely have to lift up my good thing. Man, I am a blessed man. There are many reasons why I love my wife. So I'm just give you guys one of the reasons. My wife, when it comes to everything she touches, she adds value to it, literally. I cannot think of anything that my wife has done or touched, like, you know, she's had some type of influence on, and, you know, it hasn't turned out for the good in terms of her adding value to it. Every position she's ever held, every area of ministry she's ever served in church, everything that she's ever had something to do with in my life regarding music or just this marriage alone, she's added value to it. And, you know, I just think that's not a skill, man. That's just favor. It goes beyond skill, because it's a heart thing. And I just think that she has such a pure heart and a heart for God, and to just do things in the spirit of excellence. And so that's just one of the reasons why I love my wife. She is an excellent woman, and she adds worth to everything that she comes across. And I'm just blessed by it. I'm blessed by her. So, baby, just want to share that. I love you. I don't know if you're listening or not. Even if you're going to listen to the show, I know you do, but
Even if you don't listen, if this never gets to you, I couldn't imagine life without you. All right, guys, so that was our sappy moment. I hope you're having sappy moments in your life. If you're not having sappy moments and you're married, something is truly wrong with you, you better sit down with your spouse and give them a sappy moment. Let them know exactly why you love them. Build them up. Let them know how important they are to you. And I don't care how many sappy moments I have, I need to have more of them. So another thing is, you know, don't wait once a week to have them. Like, I don't wait for the show to have a sappy moment with my wife. So look for opportunities to build your spouse up, and let them know how valuable they are. So guys, we're going to get into this show tonight. We're going to talk about guarding your heart and guarding your thoughts, and how thoughts are seeds that penetrate the heart and they grow, and how they testify for you or against you. So, you know, we're going to get into that tonight, and I'm going to try not to be too deep, and I'm going to try not to be too long with it, but I hope to get directly to the point quickly and maybe share some stuff with you guys that can really help guide you in your walk with Christ. So let's get into this music as we always do about this time, and then we're going to come back and, you know, talk about a little something. You feel me? Love you guys. Yeah.
understand it's about to go down.
Lord, put me in a trance. Well, the ammunition is my speech. Help me to keep calm when I drop bombs. Full of gentleness and meekness when I speak. Now do not miss. Of life and death is in my tongue. We play for keeps. When I trip and can't see light, please show that you've been a sin washer when I reach. Well, the I'm in these streets. Well, these boys carry heat and the hours is sweet. Or I'm having ice dreams. Been persecuted with my fatherless niece. I wanna be what they cost my two people. What's breaking your heart? Let it be my heartbeat. This is for rubber and the concrete meat. Men is keep me. I'm a carnivore, so let me be. Cause I've been sucking on my grind lately. Doing church but not for why you made it. It's a cold world and they outside naked. But I'm in the four walls, who can you pray? Blatant, it's the enemy's invasion. On the battlefield of my mind, war's raging. So I'll be your wire in you, David. Cause I'm sick and tired of being complacent. I'm doomsaying with militant tenderness. And I'm not taking prisoners, cause imminent is the sky breaking. For your representation, so I make war from my battle station. On bended knee, like I'm proposing. Wanna be a foot soldier with beautiful feet. Cause poverty breeds, usualist seeds. And I'm poor in spirit, so violence proceeds. So put me on the front line.
Copy that.
Put me on the front line.
Yeah, roger that.
Put me on the front line.
Yes,
Lord. Put me on the front line. Put me on the front line.
There we go.
Put me on the front line.
You can do it, Lord.
Put me on the front line. Lord, put me on the front line.
Yeah, you can put me on the front line. I got my Bible in a pocket full of hand grenades. I'm not a newbie, I've been rocking since the hammer days. I eat a beat, all I need is heat and some mayonnaise. Yeah, eat it up like Milo. Couldn't pay the debt, life got repo. I was lost, now found like Nemo. I got the word, now I ride by the G-code. Yeah, salute to the captain. The truth, I'm a rapper, it's useful but graphic. Good news to the Hindus and the Catholics. Even hood dudes in your pastor can grasp it. Yeah, so easy to comprehend. Look around, we're in need of a couple men. Calm down, no need for your knees to be buckling. All I'm trying to see you is buckling. For the ride, cause it might be a rough one. One life, no time for a test run. One Christ, I advise you to trust one. One life to supply your confront, son. Yeah, fill me up till I overflow. And when I do, Lord, give me more. Feed my soul till I'm obese. On that bread of life, yeah, whole week. Yeah, I think I'm saying too much. Try to want a little homie, but he playing too much. See, the time too clutch to be blind, you must. Open your eyes and realize the crime's in us. Yup, it all started in the garden. Son of man put on flesh, gave us a part in the parlor. That he came down cause he's sovereign. But through the son, we can all call on the father. Abba, you can put me on the front line. And you can put me on the front line. Lord, put me on the front line. You can put me on the front line. Put me on the front line. Lord, you can put me on the front line. Lord, put me on the front line. Lord, you can put me on the front line.
This is your boy Uncle Reese, and you are tuned in to Revive Radio, where music meets ministry, with my homeboy, D. King. Turn up!
Yeah. Hey, man, thank you again, thank you, thank you, thank you again for tuning in to the Revive Radio Show. This is your host, D. King. And, man, I feel like we got an awesome show for you tonight. Just stay with us, stick with us. We're going to play a little bit more music. We're going to talk a little bit about the issues of the heart, you know, and we're going to just expect God to move on tonight. So, as a matter of fact, let's get into this word real quick. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I magnify you. I glorify you. I just thank you for this opportunity, Father. You know what you want to be said today, God, and I just decrease, God, as you increase, God. I pray that those who are listening, that it be edifying to their ears, their heart, their soul. I pray, Father, that you just cause people to tune in, God, not for my benefit, God, but for yours, for the souls that need to be saved, for the life that needs to be transformed, God. Maybe the person is already saved that's listening to the show, God, but maybe there's just another level that they need to go in their thinking or in their walk with you, Father. And I just pray, God, that you're able to minister that to them tonight, God, through me. So, God, I decrease everything about me. I decrease now, God, and I ask that you just have your way. Your word, Father, is incorruptible, Father. Your word changes things. Your word created this earth. Your word is awesome and amazing, God. And I just pray, Father, that your word be powerful through these speakers right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, guys, so tonight I want to talk to you about basically speaking from the heart. And that's a little deceptive I thought about it as I was doing a flyer for the show, and you know, I put the title "Speaking from the Heart," because I'm not really talking about speaking from my heart tonight, and I'm not even talking about you speaking from your heart in terms of what you really care about or the things that's passionate or the love sentimental type stuff. No, I'm really talking about speaking from your heart based off of what has been rooted in your heart. And the only way something can be rooted in your heart is it has to travel from the mind to the heart. And we are living in a day now where there is an assault on the mind of God's people. There are all these different truths out there, you know. There's all these different ways to get to heaven. There are all these different ways to lose weight. There are all these different ways to run a business, all these different ways. I mean, there's just options. We're living in a time of where options are plentiful. And I once heard it said that a man is only as faithful as his options. And there is a little bit of truth to that. But we have to get to a place where, regardless of what the options are presented to us, we don't allow those options to enter into our heart. So though the options may be available, that don't mean that they're for us. And if you take that a man is only as faithful as his options, and you take that from it being a husband-wife issue, and you say it's a God-man issue, and we have all these different options and things to follow, then we are really in trouble if that's really a true statement. Now, I don't truly believe that that's a true statement, but in some places, you know, it can be argued. And tonight, I want to share with you basically what God has placed on my heart about guarding your thought life. Because if you can guard your thought life, then you guard your heart's thought life. And if you can guard what goes into your heart, then you can guard what comes out of your mouth. Not only guarding what comes out of your mouth, but you also guard the issues, the life, the things that you do, your actions as well. And you will begin to live a fasted or guarded lifestyle, meaning that you will see productivity, you will see success, you will see control, you will see discipline, you will see the life that you've always wanted to live, not based off of how hard you work at something, but how hard you work at making sure that you're putting the right thing in you. Because if you're putting the right thing in, then you will always produce the right thing. I remember I did a show actually a while back about the things that you eat. And it wasn't necessarily about that, but one of the topics that I used was it was a study that was done basically saying, after every 7 months, your body basically regenerates itself. And now there are some things that take a little longer to regenerate, but in general, your bones, your eyelids, your hair, your skin, all these things, blood cells, all these things, they kind of regenerate themselves within a matter of months, weeks, sometimes days. And they have to regenerate themselves based off of what you put on the inside of you. So if you're eating vegetables or whatever, however you want to say vegetables, but if you're eating vegetables, then you can expect your skin to reflect that. If you're eating poor food, like if you're eating donuts all the time, then you can expect your skin to reflect that that's all you eat. That's your diet. And so basically we are what we eat. We literally become what we eat. And if that's true for the spirit, then it's also true. I mean, if that's true for the natural, then it's also true for the spirit. You become what you eat. And there's a scripture that says that the word of God is that man should not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We live by the word. And if we are truly living by the word, then we will become a product of the word. I am totally getting ahead of myself, but I like that. That's when God started to speak. So tonight, you know, we want to talk about being a product of the word and understanding the importance of guarding what goes in. So the question is, why should we guard our hearts or guard our thoughts? And I kind of went a little beyond that already, but the reason why it's important for us to guard our thoughts is because if you ponder on something, there, as a matter of fact, there was a scripture that Jesus said, if a man looks lustfully on a woman, then he has already committed adultery in his heart. You know, basically, if he's pondering, if he's lusting after a woman and he's staring after her in his mind, then it seeps into his heart, and it's already adultery. He's already been condemned, and he hasn't even completed an action, but because it has went in his heart, it's going to become an action. So once it goes in your heart, it's hard to defend that thing and keep it from becoming an action, because the word of God tells us out of the heart flow the issues of life. Basically, what's in you is going to testify for you or against you. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And, you know, a lot of times we read description, we stop it, as a man thinketh, so is he. We cut out that in his heart part, but that in his heart part is important, because that tells you that it's not just the thinking in your mind, because we say as a man thinketh, so is he. No, that's a lie. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that means that you can think on things, right? And you can think of something. So like I was the other day, something came to my mind. I was like, no, that's wrong. I cast that down. And I began to think to myself, well, why am I casting it down? The reason I'm casting these thoughts down, you know, you think about something bad happening. It's just a fear method. You know, it's just a fear. It's a worry or something that is not true, something that hasn't happened. And you know, like, you don't want it to happen, and because you fear it happening, you say, you know, I bind that in the name of Jesus, or I cast that down, or you speak against it out loud to try and clear your mind and say, no, I'm not going to let that thought, you know, really rest in my heart or rest in my spirit or my soul. And so by speaking out against that thought, what you're doing is you're saying, you know what, I know I just thought of this thing, but I'm not going to let this thing become a part of me. So I'm going to, you know, take a detour in my thought life. You know, I'm thinking of this thing, but I'm going to take a detour and think of something else. Because if I don't take a detour, you know, I'm going to begin to ponder on that thing. And that's where Jesus was saying, if a man looks lustfully, because that lustful part is not just looking at a young woman. See, it's the difference. You can look at a young woman and not commit adultery with you in your heart. But then you can look lustfully at a woman and commit adultery in your heart. So it's not the action itself. It's what comes after that action and how you allow that thing to soak in. So Jesus didn't say if a man looks at another young one, if a man looks at a woman, he's going to commit adultery in his heart and he's already condemned. No, he doesn't say that. He says if a man looks lustfully, so it's the intent, it's the way you look at the person. It's allowing yourself to ponder and contemplate. Ooh, if I could do this. Ooh, if she didn't have on that. Ooh, this. Ooh, that. These different thoughts that you know are wrong. And if you could paint a picture, if there was a preview, if somebody could look into your thought life and see you just thinking on that thing over and over. I mean, I know me back in the day in school, I used to daydream, man. I daydream about everything. Like, I still got good grades, you know. I wasn't really challenged that much in school. And so, you know, whenever I wasn't challenged, man, my mind would go everywhere. And I'm an artistic person. And so, you know, if you know anything about artistic people, you know, they're here and there, you know what I mean? Like I can never sit down and just do one thing. I can't sit down and watch TV. Like I have to sit down and watch TV and be working on a flyer or working on a song or playing a video game or doing something or reading a book. I can't just do one thing. I can't just work. I have to work and do something else. So, you know, back in school, I would be sitting down and working and daydreaming at the same time. And the thing is that the more I daydreamed, the less work I did. Because it wasn't just, okay, here's a thought and now it's gone. It was, here's a thought and that thought connected to another thought and that thought connected to another thought. And I just, you know, got off in the cloud somewhere. And before I know it, the bell had rung, and you know, I'm off in the clouds and I wasn't even focused on my work. And so, no, that's not a lustful thinking, but that's what that scripture means in terms of pondering. You're focused on it. You've meditated on it. As a matter of fact, let's go there. Joshua 1:8 says, I don't know what Joshua 1:8 says. I didn't write the scripture down. So Joshua 1:8, it talks about meditating on the word of God. And I'm going to find the scripture in just a second. But there it is. So Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to what is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall have good success." So God is speaking to Joshua here, and he's telling Joshua, hey, look, I'm putting you in charge. But as I put you in charge, I need you to focus on this word, and I need you to meditate on it day and night. I need you to chew it up and spit it out and chew it up and spit it out. I need you to get all the nutrients out of it, and I need you to just sit down and focus on it. In your quiet time, I want you to just play those things back and forth in your head. Why? Because as you meditate on it in your mind, it will seep into your heart. And once it becomes a part of your heart, once it seeps into your heart, you'll have good success. And so, again, tonight I'm talking about guarding your thought life, because there are going to always be options to fear, and there's going to always be an option to worry and to stress and to get off and get focused on the wrong thing instead of focused on the right thing. And unless we bring, as the scripture tells us, to bring every thought into captivity, unless we bring these thoughts into captivity and guard our thought life, these thoughts of fear, these thoughts of doubt, you know, maybe there's a sickness that you're dealing with, or your family member is dealing with a sickness, or maybe, you know, you're pregnant and you have the, you know, they got the Zika virus out now, you know, that's the new Ebola apparently, you know, maybe, you know, you got all these kids with ADHD nowadays, man, it's just rampant. Like everybody's cutting pills for children now. It's just ridiculous. But you know, maybe it's that, and you're thinking, okay, God, I don't want that to be my child. You know, maybe you got this fear that maybe you're going to lose your job. Maybe they've been laying off people in Wisconsin somewhere, and you know, you work for the same company and they may lay you off. You know, maybe you're afraid of this presidential race and you think that it's really going to affect your bottom line or your way of living or whatever. And all these negative thoughts has now began to swirl around in your head. And what happens is, unless we bring these thoughts into captivity, which means that you speak out against these thoughts, you don't allow them to continue to swirl around in your head, then what happens is they will seep into your heart. And here's why it's important for them to not seep into your heart, because the Word of God says that out of the heart flows the issues of life. And so if it goes into your heart, it becomes a part of your life. It becomes a part of your actions. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life." And it says keep is basically saying guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because if you don't guard it, then something that you don't want in it is going to get in it, and it will begin to lead you. Who was it? It was Jesus said that it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, but what comes from his heart that defiles him. I believe it was his disciples and the Pharisees, the Sadducees at the time, and you know, they were still trying to bring charge against Jesus and all of this, and here they had, one of them didn't wash their hands before they ate, and they came to Jesus. He didn't wash his hands, and Jesus is like, man, you're foolish right now. It's not what goes in a man, because you can eat something, and it's not going to defile your heart. And that, isn't that crazy? Like, what you put in your body doesn't defile your heart, but what you put in your mind will. You know, what you put in your body can only kill the body, but it can't kill the heart. but what you put in your heart, in your mind, kills. So just as junk food is bad for the body, junk thoughts are bad for the heart. Junk food, you know, I'm not saying like you can't have some junk food every so often or whatever, but you know, if you live off of it, it becomes who you, it becomes you. You know, we just discussed that in the beginning of the show. You know, every 7 months you become what you eat. So if you think about it, if all you're doing is watching pornography, you know, every chance you get, guess what? You're putting junk food in your heart, and it's, you'll be frustrated. You'll be a frustrated person because you can't never get it like you get it on porn, because it's two totally different things. So it's important. It's vitally important to guard your heart, because not just out of it flows the issues of life. It's not just that, but I want to hit you with another scripture. It's 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel," and this is when Samuel was the guy who anointed David to be the king, and here Samuel is at Jesse's house, David's father, and he's seen all of David's brothers, and every single brother looked good. He had the right stature. You know, they looked like warriors, fighters. You know, they looked like men who should become king. And Samuel, when he got there, he started seeing these boys. He was like, "Yeah, I'm in the right place." And every one of them he went up to, God was like, "No, not him. Nah, I haven't chosen him." And David's in the field, you know, keeping the sheep and fighting lions and tigers and bears. And God says, "No, Samuel, none of them are it." And Samuel turns to Jesse, and he's like, "Well, is there another child?" And Jesse's like, "Yeah, I got another son, but surely you can't be talking about him. I mean, he just keeps sheep." And you know, make sheep, keeping sheep sound like it's a great job, you know, because it sounds simple and easy, but sheep are just stink. They stink, you know, it's not a luxury job, you know. Nowadays, it would be equivalent to being a ditch digger or throwing watermelons on the truck or somebody who picks tobacco or whatever. I mean, it's not the type of job, you know, you're going to just line up for, you know, being a shepherd. And here he is out in the pasture keeping the sheep. And so they call David in, and God says to Samuel, "Do not look at their appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him," or them, those guys. "For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So it's not just that out of your heart are going to flow the issues of life. And the word also says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's not just your actions, but it's also your words. So it's not just that. It's not just your words that come from your heart and your actions that come from your heart. But God is actually watching, not your actions, but your heart. See, because your actions are going to always be a result of what's going on in your heart. And if you're not guarding your mind and what you ponder on and what you focus on and what you think about, then it's going to seep into your heart. And as soon as it seeps into your heart, it's going to begin to take root and pretty soon reveal itself. So God has told Samuel, the Lord looks at the heart. You know, there's another scripture that says God judges even the secret things of a man's heart. He judges the secret things of your heart. Think about that. Stuff you haven't told anyone. Things that you may have done. I know, man, look, boy, back when I was doing my dirt all by my lonesome with nobody else around me, thinking I was getting away with it, I wasn't getting away with any of that. I was being judged. My actions testified against me, even when no one else was around. The word of God even says, "He will reward you openly for what you do in the secret, whether that's a good reward or a bad reward. The Bible tells us that what happens in secret when the doors are closed and no one else is around, God sees and he will reward you openly for it. Basically, even though you're doing it behind closed doors, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, the result of what you're doing behind closed doors will be found when you're in open. Ain't that something? Better watch what's in your heart. Man, so here, there's Philippians 4 and 7. We'll get to that real quick. It says, no, as a matter of fact, Philippians 4, 6. We'll go there. It says, be careful for nothing, or be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here, when it says, be careful for nothing, or, you know, another translation says, be anxious for nothing, or, and another one says, don't worry about anything, but take your prayers to God. It's basically saying, I know you got this fear. I know you have this anxiousness. I know you have this worry. I know this is going on in your life, or this is about to happen, and you're concerned, and you don't know what to do. But the Bible is telling us, don't ponder on that. Don't worry about that. Don't stress about that. Take that very thing that's swirling around in your head and make your prayer known to God. Make your request known to God. Pray about it. Don't stress it. Don't focus on it. Don't let it get into your heart. Don't wake up with it and go to bed with it. Yeah, you may be in a bad marriage, but if all you do is thinking about how bad your marriage is, instead of taking it to God and speaking life on it, then guess what? Your marriage ain't just bad. It's you that's bad. You're part of the bad marriage. Whatever it is, whatever the struggle is, whatever the fight is, the idea is, you got to guard your heart. I know it's tough, but don't worry about it right now. Guard your heart. Take it to God. Because if you take it to God instead of putting it on your heart, not only does he have to deal with it, but also it doesn't become a part of your actions. It doesn't become a part of who you are. Because the moment you begin to worry about it, you allow it to swirl around in your head and seep into your heart. And if you ponder on it, it becomes who you are. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the heart flows the issues of life. So if it's in there, it becomes you. So let's not stress it right now. Let's not worry about it. Let's just give it to God, and let's give him an opportunity to deal with this. I know you're capable. I know you're able. You know, I'm just that puts me in mind of the scripture. Who was it? David. He had just came back from fighting a battle, and it was him and his mighty men. And he came to his camp, and all of his children and his wives, all of, every fighting man, these guys came, and they took all of the wives, and they took all of the kids, and they burnt the houses, they killed the livestock. But I think they took the livestock as well. But they burned everything, and they took all the kids. And here it is that David is a capable man. He's not some dude that doesn't know how to fight. I mean, these dudes are bad, man. One scripture talks about how one of David's men beat a lion in a pit of snow. In a pit full of snow, he beat a lion with his bare hands. Another one talks about how you know, David killed 1,000 men, and one man killed another 1,000 men with bones and axes and stuff like that. I mean, these dudes are not punks. They're not soft. And here it is that somebody has came and took their wives and their kids. And so instead of David gathering up his men and saying, okay, guys, let's do this. We're going to go get them, you know, because they don't know who they messing with. You know what I'm saying? And we're finna go make this happen. No, instead of them doing that, they said, "Nah, let's dial this back." Now they were mad. They was upset. And they even began to complain about David. But David, instead of allowing it to destroy him, I mean, he was visibly upset. He tore his clothes. But what he did was he took his worry to God. He took his pain to God. He took his stress to God. He didn't sit there and just contemplate on it and not do anything about it, or contemplate on it and go and just do his own thing. No, he took it to God and he said, "Lord, shall I pursue?" He made his request known to God, and God said, "Yeah, man, go get them." And they did. But my point behind that is that there are going to be times and issues in life where something is going to happen, and you will have every right by man to do something about it, to complain about it, to be frustrated about it. I mean, to do what seems natural. But we have to get away from this what seems natural lifestyle. This it's natural to be worried. It's natural to be fearful. It's natural to be stressed out. No, it's not natural by God's standards, maybe by man's, but God's standards said, "Okay, if you got a problem, bring it to me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and I will care for you. And all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed, and I don't care how big your mountain is, it shall be moved if you just bring it to me." But the world tells us that we have to face it on our own. You ain't a man unless you can handle your problems. You ain't a woman unless you can handle your problems. And God never meant for us to handle our problems. As a matter of fact, he said that be of good cheer. You're going to have tribulations and troubles in this world, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world, which means that you're going to have problems. You're going to have situations in life, but be of good cheer, because I've already overcame them things. So you can just give them to me and smile about it. Yeah, the problems are still going to be there, but you don't have them anymore. I do. Yeah, I still got this issue going on in my life, but really, I don't have this issue. God got this issue going on in my life. I got God. God got me. So I want to leave you with this, which is extremely important, because I don't want to give you all of this without giving you the solution. It says, Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these." Think, contemplate, meditate. Let them swirl around in your head on these things. I want to challenge you to compare your thoughts with this scripture, with Philippians 4:8. I want to challenge you to compare your worries with Philippians 4:8. Whatever it is that's on your head tonight, or on your heart, or whatever it is that you've been battling and facing, are you doing this? Because if you're not doing this, then these things don't have an opportunity to soak into your heart. And if they're not soaking in your heart and something else is, then guess what is going to be your actions? Guess what's going to be the response to the issues that you're facing, the response to whatever problem you're dealing with? It's not going to be whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest and of good report. It's going to be whatsoever things are stressing you out, whatever things are kicking your behind, whatsoever things are making you mad, whatsoever things are taking your money. And as long as you're thinking about that, and guess what? You're preoccupied with the wrong thing. And pretty soon, it will seep into your heart. And if it's in your heart, it'll be in your life. And if it's in your life, it's going to testify against you. And I don't know about you, man, but when I stand before God, I don't want my actions to testify against me. I want my actions to testify for me. I want him to say, "What have you done with my word?" And I want my answer to be something that he responds to with, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You may enter into my rest." So Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word, guys. Meditate on it. You got something that's stressing you out, it's bothering you, it's hard, whatever it is, meditate on the word. Let God's word speak for you. Get it in your heart. All right, so look, let me end it right there. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this word tonight. You know, I feel like you kind of ran with this more than I expected you to, God, and that's exactly what I need, Lord. I thank you for this word because it was for me as well. I appreciate you, and I pray, Father, that you reveal yourself to the listeners in such a way, God, that their lives be just changed and transformed, God. Help us to think on your word. Help us to think on the goodness of Jesus. Help us to think on the act of what was done on the cross, and not just what was done on the cross, but the fact that he was resurrected with all power. And so sickness, we don't have to take. Sin, we don't have to live in. Doctor's reports, bad bills, bad marriages, bad children. It doesn't matter what is bad, God. We don't have to take it or walk with it or live with it. We don't have to accept it because the victorious one, with resurrection power, is living on the inside of us. And your word says that you have caused us to triumph. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Father. So help us to think on these scriptures. Help us to think on these things, God, so that we can live a victorious life and be the victorious people that you have called us to be. God, we bind every attack of the enemy on our thought lives. We bind every attack of the enemy on our spouses, on our children, even our bosses and our bosses' bosses. We declare them to be saved, Father. We declare them to be transformed and speaking in tongues, God. We pray, Father, for our grandparents and for our family and friends, God. We pray, Father, for our neighbors, God, those who may not know you, God. Give us a charge, God, and an influence, God, over those who don't know you tonight, God, over those who need to know you, God, who you are beckoning, Father. You are looking for someone to go into the highways and byways and connect with your people, God. I pray that that be us. I pray, Father, that you give us an influence, God, to change and transform lives, God, and not to be so focused on our thing, God, that we miss your thing, God. We love you. We honor you. And we really, truly can't do life without you, Father. So we just say thank you for all that you are. Thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for the precious gift of your son. We acknowledge you and we love you and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Young ladies, can I get your attention? This is real important. So I need for you to listen. Have you ever been in the type of situation? You fell in love with the boy who you were dating. He wanted sex. You really wasn't ready, but you did it anyway. Thinking y'all would go steady. Then 2 weeks went by. You haven't heard a word. He calls you up and says,
this relationship won't work.
You feel hurt. You realize you should have thought about it before you opened up your thighs. Well, listen, sis, everything will be alright. He may have took your love, but don't let him take your pride. And now you know to think before you make the wrong mistakes. Cause if he really love you, I promise you he'll wait. So it's never too late to hold your head up high. Don't settle for a penny. God made you the dime. Yeah, he made you the finest. Price above rubies. Girl, you're a star and your life is a movie. Yeah, you should probably get an Oscar for the leading role that you play. You got the whole world watching. So show them that you're worth the wait.
You are more than what your past said. He gave you beauty for your ashes. But being hurt can cause so many scars. But he's here to fix your broken heart.
Beautiful, beautiful,
that's what you made me.
Beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful.
touched so many times, you turned into a sex fiend. You never really knew how a man should treat you. Every time you saw mama, she was black and blue. Daddy beat her up when he came home drunk, so you never knew the difference from a man and a punk. But starting right now, it stops here. God's got a word, please open up your ears. You're the temple where the Holy Ghost resides, so you're the finest thing that money can't buy. And with Christ, the men say you're the best. They taste you even more if you show a little less. And let's not forget, if you commit to abstinence, then your body's so high the average man can't afford it. Like the economy in recession, I pray to God you fall in love with your reflection. Cause if you don't, then who will? You gotta stop telling men how to make you feel. See, God loves you deeper than the hate that was caused by the tears running down your face. I just pray to God heals you from all your scars, because your past never defines who you are.
You are more than what your past is. He gave you beauty for your ashes. Just being hurt can cause so many scars.
King David, and you are now tuned in to Revive Radio, where music meets ministry, with your host, my boy, D. King. Make sure y'all keep it locked.
When it comes to you, I'm by whatever. You'll never forsake me, so it's you I'm doubting ever. When it comes to you, I'm by whatever, Lord.
Georgia, lock cash in, because you found your boy in that trash bin, where they bang the block and let the banger pop, and that thing so hot it make glass bend. I'm diving deep when I splash in, you in the driver's seat, I'm latched in, my college street, knowledge deep, I got a scholarship, packed 10, but I'm wrapped in eternal passion. You took the wrath of sin up on Calvary, so I go hard for these souls. Lord, it ain't tripping off of my salary. This galaxy is your palace. We try to challenge you, but that's a fallacy. We take part in sin because the darkened hearts of men are hardening like a callous bee. But when you part the winds and time starts to bend, the trumpet's blowing and the harps will blend. You round us up and then you march us in. Everybody gonna be shaking like Parkinson's. It's a dirty fight, but my jury's right, because my verdict's Christ, so I'm serving life. I'm killing flesh and I'm murder mics. The word of life till I'm murdered twice.
When it comes to you, I'm about whatever. You'll never forsake me, so it's you I'm doubting ever. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever, Lord.
I'm about
whatever, Lord. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever. You'll never forsake me, so it's you I'm doubting ever. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever, Lord.
I'm about
whatever, Lord. Hey, Seth, bruh, you ain't never lied, man. This faith walk ain't no cakewalk. It's the hardest thing you gonna do in your life. Anybody can act a fool, but can you be a real man and walk in love?
Yeah.
If it's love, then it's action to back it up. And ain't no giving up, no packing up. Cause it's still days that I get to acting up. But then I
repent and head back to love.
Back to love, right back to Christ. Get cleansed in the blood, right back to life. Cause this walk is gonna come with some sacrifice. And it's still days I feel like I'm shacking dice. All shook up, a little something like Presley. And money, clothes, and clothes, man, that stuff don't oppress me. The devil, they use that, it's like feel like Wesley. But it was his love that God used to arrest me. Now I'm all in, hell's up. I got my boots on the ground, waking hell up. Rolling with the only one that won't fail you. Just mention his name in the open and sell up. Yeshua, Yehoshua, Yahweh. He's the one to give you rest after a hard day. About whatever, whenever, whatever my God say. Rolling with the Trinity, three the hard way. And when the cards played, royal flush. Rolling with the king of hearts, no destroying us. Matt 28, great commission been deploying us. And we about to trample on anything that's poisonous.
When it comes to you, I'm about whatever. You'll never forsake me, so it's you I'm doubting ever. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever, Lord. I'm about whatever, Lord. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever. You'll never forsake me, so it's you I'm doubting ever. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever, Lord. I'm about
whatever, Lord.
When it comes to you, I'm about whatever. You'll never forsake me, so it's you I'm doubting ever. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever, Lord. I'm about whatever, Lord. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever. You'll never forsake me, so it's you I'm doubting ever. When it comes to you, I'm about whatever, Lord.
I do this for your glory, revelation, not obligation. I don't care if they know my name, long as they know you're amazing. You're the greatest, why am I don't really matter. Yeah, they searching for the spotlight, but your heart is what I'm after. Yeah, so I let my light shine, hoping that they can follow it. And you are who they find, cause at the end of the night, or at the end of the day, I'm still a creation created to put you on display. Yeah, won't let a rock cry in my place, so I seize every opportunity to give you praise. Yeah, but you deserve more. I wish that I could clone myself so I could serve more. I know that's just a silly wish, but ain't nothing wrong with dreaming when you're dreaming big. And I'm dreaming of doing things that your son did. If greater works can be done, there ain't no limit. So what's impossible to you? Nothing but just a word. Something that man created to keep us here in this earth. And I will not participate. I know what I'm worth. I understand the value, the power of my words. My purpose on this earth, to lift your name high. To tell the truth and it's beneficial to lie. Remain low in the company of pride. They say I'm crazy cause I've been living to die. But I do it for you. For you. For you. I do it for you.
Something about the sound of a piano, spiritually channels. Something in the soul of me, this poetry's my ammo. I'm seasoned like the poultry that sprinkles out the hand slow. Promise that you'll grow with me and never let my hand go. Go with me, saints go marching in, but where'd the band go?